Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, you are now tuned in to the Investor Show. As always, this is your gracious host, the Prince of Investing, Prince Dykes, coming to you guys and girls live all the way from the beautiful city and state of Denver, Colorado. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. However you may be catching this, I thank you for tuning in today if you're catching this live or the playback. But first of all, ladies and gentlemen, I don't have a lot of time, and I definitely know you guys and girls don't have a lot of time, so we're going to jump straight into it. As you guys and girls know, as you can see in the description box, this is a great episode we have coming up today. We have a very, very special guest. You heard of the concept called Roostock. He has a concept and he has a business that allows you to be able to purchase stocks online, purchase real estate, slices of real estate online like you're buying a stock. And it's called Roostock. I like that little play on words there, real estate. Buying stocks like real estate. So if you're here live, you're going to be able to ask a question or two. We're going to take one or two questions at the very end of the show. But before we do that, before we go any further, let me go ahead and introduce the guests. We have the CEO of Roostock. They have done $2 billion worth of transactions, raised over $135 million in funding, and they're doing great things across the globe. They're one of the first fintech companies I heard of. So when I saw this come across my desk, I was very interested in the concept of being able to buy real estate, buy a rental property way away from where I'm from, and to be able to collect a dividend. New way of investing, right? So ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let me bring in my guest, the CEO of Roostock, Mr. Gary Beasley. How you doing, sir? How you doing today?
I'm great, Prince. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Can you hear me pretty good?
I hear you great.
All right. Thank you for stopping by and tuning in today. First of all, I want to get people to be familiar with you, and I want to ask you the first question for people out there that may have never heard of you or seen you around. I know you've been on CNBC and all of the good stuff like that, Bloomberg. But some people may ask, who is Gary Beasley? Am I pronouncing your last name right?
You are. Yeah, absolutely. So who is Gary Beasley? So I would say I'm an entrepreneur at heart. I've done a number of different things in my career, but I've generally been at the intersection of real estate and technology in most of my businesses, always trying to find an innovation or a different angle to pursue in real estate broadly, which I've always been involved in. And it has tended to be an industry, a sector that has not embraced innovation very readily. So there have been a number of different things I've done over my career that have tried to bring technology and innovation and new business models to bear. So a couple of things that I've done, I spent a lot of time in the hospitality world, in the resort industry for a while, and then I ran a boutique hotel company for a bit. I was CFO of a company called Zip Realty, which was arguably the first online residential brokerage, similar to a Redfin, which you'd see today. And we took that company public in 2004. And then the most recently and most relevant to what I'm doing now with Roostock, I was involved with a company called Waypoint Homes. We formed a public REIT called Starwood Waypoint, where we had several thousand homes that we'd purchased and converted to rentals and built a whole infrastructure and technology around how to acquire and manage them profitably. So that's where we sort of got the idea to start Roostock was some of the work that I was doing previously. And we took that company public in 2014. So, you know, again, I like to create things. I like to start businesses, grow them. I don't get as excited about maintaining things once they've stabilized. I like to kind of look around the corners and try to innovate.
Got it. Okay. Well, you speak of a company called Roostock. It's very interesting that you're able to buy a piece of a rental property with tenants already in it, mm-hmm. and be able to collect a royalty from that as far as, you know, the person paying their rent. So my first question is out there, people that may ask, what is Roostock?
Sure. So think about Roostock as we're a marketplace where you can go and buy and sell homes that already have a tenant in them. And it's just a much more efficient way to invest. So think about it a little bit like Amazon for houses. So instead of going to Amazon and buying a book or a pair of shoes, what you can do is you could actually look at houses all over the country. We're in about 70 markets around the country. And the homes that you look at are already, they're rented out, they have tenants in them. And we do a lot of the diligence up front, as opposed to you trying to fly somewhere, find brokers, do inspections, all that's done for you up front, and you do it in an e-commerce environment. So think about Roofstock as just being a much more efficient way to buy and sell houses, and it's much better for the sellers because they don't have to vacate the homes. Our commissions are quite low. It's better for buyers because you're buying cash flow day one, and just squeezes a lot of the inefficiency out and really breaks down, as you mentioned, Prince, the geographic barriers to real estate investing. As we were talking about earlier, you could be sitting there in Denver buying homes in Alabama or Arizona or anywhere without ever seeing it. And so we kind of have this touchless delivery of houses, which is ideal for these times.
Okay. Very good thing there. I wanted to ask you this next question. Like, you talked about what Roofstock is. Pretty good idea. But a lot of questions remain. You know, it's a fintech company. People are going to ask the question. I have the question. How does this work? You're telling me I can sit in Denver, go online, purchase a home, right? I remember purchasing my first home. I had to go in. I had to get a real estate agent. Mm-hmm. I had to go through inspections. I had to get an appraisal. I had to do blah, blah, blah. I got tenants. You know, how does this, you know, is it regulated? You know, how do I know if I just put my money on there? What do you have? How does Roofstock work?
Yeah. So we're regulated by real estate laws, mm-hmm. which are both federal and state local. So so think about it. It's all the regulations that would apply to a typical real estate transaction we comply with. So we have a brokerage license. We can work with outside brokers if people do have a broker. Usually people come to us directly and just buy the homes through our marketplace. So the one area that is not just regulated by real estate regs, which are relatively straightforward, is you did mention at the top of the show this idea that you can buy shares of homes, slivers of homes. That's called Roofstock One. And that is a security that we've created where we've purchased homes and we sell off the ownership interest in those homes. And that's a security. And so that's SEC regulated. And so we comply with all the appropriate securities regulations when selling that product. The majority of our business, though, is trading whole properties, whole homes, and that's simply regulated by real estate regs.
Okay. Now, you mentioned earlier you have a REIT background that mm-hmm. you came from. REIT, for everybody that's out there, that doesn't know what a REIT is, it's a real estate investment trust. Mm-hmm. How is Roofstock different from a traditional REIT?
Yeah. So REITs are terrific vehicles. I used to run one, as you know, and so they're near and dear to my heart. What's great about REITs is you can buy a share of a portfolio of properties, could be any kind of asset class, and it's traded typically. There are non-traded ones, but I think when people think of REITs, they think primarily of publicly traded REITs. Mm-hmm. And you buy a piece of the income generated across the entire portfolio. And so you have shares, and it's just the company owns real estate that generates cash flow. You're broadly diversified, and you've got great liquidity with REITs. The difference with Roofstock is you don't own a security. Mm. Ignore Roofstock One for the moment. You're buying a home. And the big advantage of buying real estate directly is it's not correlated to the stock market. So when you buy a REIT, the good news about a REIT is you've got great liquidity. The challenge can be if there's a lot of volatility in the stock market, your share price can change a lot. When you own a home, you buy a home, $100,000 home for $20,000 down, say you own that home and you could do with it what you will. You could put your own loan on it. You put your own management on it. You pick your own insurance. So you have a lot more agency and control, and you could pick the markets you want exposure to. As opposed with a REIT, you're buying kind of whatever markets that the management team of that REIT is choosing. So you can choose your own leverage and your own operating strategy and your markets.
Oh, I like that, because it's kind of, so you're saying pretty much it's independent of the stock market like a REIT will.
That's, I think, a really important point. The stock market, in my view, is very disconnected with the real economy right now.
Yes.
It's very volatile, but it's you know, near at record highs. NASDAQ's at least yesterday, it was record high. But then you've got all this unemployment and all this dislocation. So I think a lot of people are increasingly nervous about that decoupling of, I think, economic reality from what's reflected in the stock market, which is, I think, being propped up by a very accommodative Fed and some things like that. So real estate prices don't tend to change that quickly, and they're not correlated directly to equities. They have a very, you know, almost no direct correlation or direct relationship to stock prices. So if you want something that's not going to change in value so much and you want to invest for the long term, I think real estate is a nice alternative, particularly today.
Okay. All right. You touched on this next question a little bit, but how does this work? Like, if I went online and I went through roofstock.com, mm-hmm. and I see you had a property for $100,000 in Alabama, right? I mean, that's a crazy price compared to, you know, bigger cities, right? So I see a property, or if I own a property down in Georgia and I'm saying, hey, you know what? I had tenants, I'm done with it or whatnot, whatever case, I want to sell it. How does this work if I go on and I buy a property online? I'm here in Denver, Colorado. How does that work with, you know, financing?
Yeah.
Who's going to maintain the tenants? Who's going to make sure the tenants are good? The maintenance, the toilets, the taxes, all the good stuff like that. Who's going to handle all that?
Yeah. So the basic idea of Roofstock is to separate operations from investing. Mm-hmm. So you can be anywhere and buy properties with confidence in an e-commerce environment. So to do that, we needed to do two things. We needed to do the upfront work to do the diligence, so you actually don't have to physically see the home, and we could certify those properties. And then we needed to find local property management infrastructure. So when you buy through Roofstock, we have certified local property managers who meet our standards, and they will manage the properties for you. So it's, as you're checking out through our website, you pick your property manager. We show all the data. You just pick XYZ property manager. Everything gets transferred over to them. And as the property goes through closing, they become your property manager. And then they handle all the rent collections, all the repair and maintenance, any leasing that might be required when a tenant moves out. That's all done for you. Mm-hmm. You have to get your own loan, but we'll help match you with a lender who's a good match for you. If you want to get financing, we'll help you get insurance. So our platform's set up to where you could be a very experienced investor, or you could be a newbie who's never bought a property. In fact, a decent percentage of our clientele, it's their first real estate purchase. They're renting. They're renting homes in expensive markets, and they're buying their first real estate through Roofstock. And so we have a lot of education that you could avail yourself to. We have people you can talk to. We're very much about trying to empower investors to learn. And many people, we've had people have been on our site for 2 years, engaging with us, buying their first properties now. So it's not as if you even have to come and transact right away. And as the community grows, we're getting more and more content, more and more users. And a lot of times these users will exchange information and tips as well.
Okay. Great idea. So if a toilet breaks, if I buy a home and I'm renting it out, it has a tenant.
You're really focused on the toilet. Everyone says toilets don't break that often. Well, they do. Uh-huh. Although I did have a rental. I have a rental home in Florida, and the toilet did break about a month ago. It was a minor repair. It needed just a little thing. Property manager took care of it. Said there was a work order because I've authorized them to do everything under $500 and just inform me after it happens. And this was like an $80 thing. It was fixed. So that is, I think a lot of times people over-index on the challenges of that. As long as you have a good property manager in place, you don't have to deal with a lot of those little things. Where you have to get involved is your tenant's moving out. You have to decide if you want to raise the rent or not, by how much. And you might want to do some renovations, some things like that. You say, hey, if you put in granite countertops and different appliances, we can get another $150 a month of rent. Do you want to do that? And so those are the kind of things you have to think about. But otherwise, once a tenant's in there, it's generally plug and play, and you're just kind of clipping your coupons.
Okay. I know everybody can relate to a toilet. But the next thing, so when I'm doing this, how exactly am I paid? Am I paid through Roofstock? Am I paid through the property manager? How would this, when the tenant pays their rent, how would I collect my money? How
are you're paid by your property manager. So we kind of stay involved and monitor performance, but the money actually flows directly from the property manager into your bank account. And it's usually just a direct deposit that happens it's monthly. Typically, and so it just happens in an automatic way. It's very seamless.
Got it. Okay. Now, how does Rootstock make money? Because I know you guys have to make money some type of way. I know you got to have a commission some type of way. How is Rootstock paid?
Didn't I tell you we're a nonprofit, Prince? No. we make money in a few different ways, but generally most of our revenues come from transaction fees. So when people list their homes for sale through our site, we charge a fee, and our typical fee is 3%. And that's the entire cost to the seller. We'll pay for the certification work up front. We'll pay to market the home and all that kind of stuff. And then the buyer also pays 0.5% to use our platform. And then when we do, and we have also a fairly decent institutional business, and we charge institutional owners to sell their portfolios through our platform. And then we also have a business where we work with large investors who want to buy properties, and we use our technology and our infrastructure to help them build their own portfolios. And so we'll charge fees to those groups that don't want to build their own infrastructure. They want to rent ours, basically, and we'll do that. And so we'll generate fees that way. We also have a property management business called Street Lane Homes, and we charge property and asset management fees to oversee. That's just for right now institutional owners. We're not doing it for retail buyers who are buying through our site, but we have some institutional clients we're managing those homes for.
Got a question for you, right? So if I'm understanding this correctly, for Rootstock One, that's the one where you can get slices of rental properties. That's only for accredited investors?
Correct.
Okay, so everybody's out there, accredited investors, a network of 1 million. So for the people who don't have $1 million, right, you can only purchase homes there, correct?
Yeah. The majority of our business is whole home purchases through our website. So it's also, in addition to the $1 million net worth, if you make $200,000 a year, I believe is still the threshold, you also can qualify. So there's an income or a net worth test. But yes, for the Rootstock One shares, because of the way we've chosen to register it, it's just for accredited investors. Yeah. We're sold out of that product now. We're looking at relaunching that later, and we're also looking at the opportunity to potentially offer a version of that product for anyone, for non-accredited investors, so you could buy smaller slivers and not have to be accredited. So we're testing the market right now to see how much demand there might be for that product, and that's something we may introduce down the road.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that you've taken about 2 or 3 companies public, right, in the real estate fintech space, the financial technology space. I got to ask this question. What is the future of Rootstock, and will it go public?
Jeez. I wish I had a crystal ball with that one, Prince.
Think about Gary, you raised $135 million. That's no small feat.
Well, we're working hard every day to invest that money wisely and building. A lot of it's gone into our technology and our people, because we don't have a lot of hard assets beyond our, when you think about it, we're building a marketplace, right? And so it's all about our tech and our people. And so I believe if you build a company right and you focus on customers, right, and if you have a great customer relationships and you treat your employees well, and we tend to have pretty high employee satisfaction and low turnover, the investment side will take care of itself. So when you think about those three important constituencies, I think it's really important to think about how you prioritize them. And if you build a company the right way, you'll have plenty of options to take public, merge it with another company, sell the company someday to a strategic investor. I'm not at all focused on the exit here. I'm focusing on building a company that's got the right sort of characteristics and growth prospects. And I think the nice thing about this market is it's so large. There's about 1 million investor transactions a year in single family homes. And we do a few thousand transactions today out of those millions. So there's and we have an enormous opportunity to grow our market share over time. We can get into short-term rentals as well, which we're thinking about. Think about sort of Airbnb type properties that people want to buy and rent out on a short-term basis. There's also small apartments, small multifamily, sub 50 units that are quite interesting. And we've had a lot of people come to us and say, hey, can you help us buy those types of properties? And so we've done some work mapping that stuff out. And then there's also an international opportunity. It'd be pretty cool to be able to come to Roofstock and buy a property in Australia or Canada or the UK. We've looked at some of those opportunities. I think over time we will do that, to where ultimately our vision is to create a global real estate marketplace where there's one place you could go to and trade properties or shares, in some cases very efficiently.
Oh, nice. All right. Now, with your background, you know, coming with your background from in real estate investment trust, Stanford graduate, being in finance so long, real estate, being familiar with the stock market and things like that, right? You know, and you mentioned it earlier when you said that it feels like the stock market is out of touch with reality, right? And I got to ask you this question. What is Mr. Gary Beasley investing in? What are you investing in? I got to ask this to every guest. What are you investing in?
Yeah. So I did just buy an investment property, another investment home, because I do like that. So kind of eating my own dog food here, buying rental homes. But the one investment that I did make recently is I bought some S&P puts, some put options, which is basically allows you to profit if the S&P goes down. And I also have some exposure to the S&P, so it's a bit of a hedge, but it feels to me like there's more downside than upside right now, given the fundamentals. So I wanted to have a portion of exposure to that could benefit if the market does go down.
Now, think about the put options. What about that expiration date?
Well, yeah, it has to be the right duration, and you know, you have to go through the devil's in the details. I think that what ends up happening, things happen very quickly in the market today. And so if there ends up being a lot of volatility, there'll be an opportunity, I think, to do something to take advantage of that.
Taking advantage of the downside. Okay. All right. Yep. Rental properties and put options. Got that. All right. But first of all, I want to thank you for coming by. And I want to open this up to one question before we get you out of here. We have one question we're going to take from Mr. Alvin Cofield. He says, should I buy a house in Jacksonville? You know, he's in the Jacksonville area, and he's in the market for a house. What would you got to say to him?
Yeah. Well, you know, I like Jacksonville as a market. I can't give you specific advice on a house, because the thing about real estate is a given house could be a great investment at a given price and not a great investment in another. So I'm going to assume that you kind of like the house and like the price. But Jacksonville, I think, is interesting. I think there's good job growth there. There's in-migration. I think there's a lot of reasons to like Jacksonville. And so it's a market that I know we have one institutional investor who's very interested in that market, and they do a lot of research around the country of places. So I personally think from a macro standpoint, there's a lot of things to like about Jacksonville.
Okay. I have a question for you now. If Mr. Beasley was in this situation and you was getting ready to buy your first home, would you rent and then maybe would you rent your primary resident and then buy a rental property somewhere else? Or would you buy your first home? I mean, what would you, in that situation, would you just say, hey, I'm just going to rent and then I'm going to buy a home to rent in Alabama somewhere?
I think it depends where you're living. If you're living in a place where you can afford to buy a home, then I generally think it makes, and you think you're going to be there for a while, I generally think it makes sense to try to buy that home. And if you're living in an affordable place, if you're living in a place where you can't really afford to buy a home that you would want to, that you're excited to live in, or is not in the area you want to be in, then I think renting can make sense, and buying a home in a place that's more affordable, and you get that similar real estate exposure. Eventually, I know a lot of people who are doing that with the idea of eventually selling those rental properties and then buying where they live, so you could build equity that way. So So I think either strategy can make sense. I'm definitely not one who says everyone should rent, no one should own. I think, you know, most people want to own the home that they live in eventually. But what we are seeing is people waiting longer to do it. Because when you see, there have been several surveys that have said millennials in particular who buy too early are dissatisfied because they end up buying a smaller home than they really wanted or in an area that's less desirable, or the total cost of ownership is higher than they expected. And you, all those things lead to, man, I wish I would be have rented. When you buy a rental home, the nice thing is generally it's a little bit less expensive, but then your tenant's paying all those costs. The tenants pay, you're able to cover those things through their rent, and then they're paying down the mortgage on it. So it's a way to kind of place a bet somewhere else and then have your debt serviced by someone else.
All right, Mr. Beasley, I want to thank you for stopping by. Say anything you want to listen, give the audience that's listening now and the playback. You know, for the people that's catching it live and the people that will catch the playback, is there anything you want to leave them with?
I guess I would just say, you know, in times like this where there's so much uncertainty, think about your own personal investing situation. And I just encourage people to not overreact and also be prudent in how they're making their investments. So one thing what I can share is single family homes right now have performed better than probably almost every other real estate asset class. So it's something to keep monitoring, but through June, the rent payments have been essentially in line with pre-COVID levels. So we haven't had a massive lack of payment, which some people thought might happen. We have to watch that and make sure that trend continues. But you've seen other real estate asset classes that people tend to want to invest in have massive problems. And you've got office and retail, hotels, things like that, struggling because the fundamental demand for their service is very depressed. And what's happening in this crisis is demand for housing has actually increased. No one wants to leave their homes. People are extending. And so the fundamental demand for shelter, which is more like it's a need. It's almost like a utility. Everyone needs a place to live. That's not going to go away. You can choose not to make the discretionary trip and stay in the hotel, but you need a place to live. So I think that with all this dislocation, it's shining a light on housing as an attractive place to place capital. But you have to have the right horizon too. There may be some volatility in prices over the medium term, but as long as you don't put too much debt on it, you could ride it out. And it's a great place to park some capital. So that would be my closing thoughts, just to kind of think about it. I think a lot of people have always wanted to figure out how to invest in housing as an asset class. We're trying to make it super easy for people to do it without ever seeing it, without ever having to travel. That's what I would say is kind of a consideration. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Alvin did give some feedback here. He said, thank you for the feedback. So, all right. Then we have Jamie Twice says, thanks for this. I like this. This is good. I'm looking to buy land in a double wide. Okay. Nice. So, but anyway. Scarf there,
Joe. Yeah. Second. I like Joe's scarf there. That was.
Oh, the scarf. Oh, you saw his scarf.
Yeah. I like it.
So he's looking to buy land in a double wide. All right.
All right.
Now, I want to thank you for stopping by today. Thank you for sharing the concept of Rootstock. Did you have fun today?
I had a lot of fun.
Had a lot of fun. Would you come back on? You come back on?
I'd be happy to come back on, Prince.
All right. Thank you. But as always, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and children of all ages, we got somebody else said, I want to do this ASAP. But there you go. Well, thank you everybody for tuning in and catching this live, and the people that catch the playback, thank you for tuning this in. But until the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever else crazy you see around the globe, my name is Prince Dykes. This is the Investor Show. This is Rootstock CEO, Mr. Gary Beasley. Thank you for coming on. And to the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever else crazy you see me around the globe, be safe. I'm out, and thank you.